My guest at this time is Van Hipp. He is chairman of American Defense International. He is also the author of The New Terrorism, How to Fight and Defeat It. But most important for this conversation, he's the former chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party. He has written on what he believes is the reasons for Donald Trump's surprisingly large win on Saturday night in South Carolina. Some polls had showed a narrowing race, but in the end, Trump wins by double digits, with Marco Rubio edging Ted Cruz in a photo finish for second place. The rest of the field was far back, far enough that fourth place finisher Jeb Bush, of course, dropped out of the race. And Van, thanks very much for being with us.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You not only call it a big win for Donald Trump, you say it's kind of a blueprint for how Republicans can do well in November, regardless of who the nominee is. One of the things that the Trump campaign did well, and I think surprised people most of all, especially given how he comports himself a lot of the time, is the fact that he actually won the evangelical vote. That's a portion of the state that is huge in South Carolina, particularly up in the Greenville area. The exit polls showed that about 73-74% of Republican voters consider themselves evangelical. Ted Cruz banking heavily on that. In the end, he didn't even win a plurality. Trump got the plurality. How did he do it?
Yeah, and he won it not only with evangelicals, but with national security conservatives and with economic conservatives. These folks may have been angry, Greg, but it sounds to me looks a whole lot like the old Reagan coalition. One very prominent Southern Baptist minister who endorsed him last week, I think, said the best, that he is ruthlessly honest, and people want someone right now. They're fed up with the government. They're fed up with politicians. They want someone who is ruthlessly honest. I talked to another pastor, very active in the homeschool movement in South Carolina. He said, look, I may not want this guy to be my pastor. There are other people who would be a better Sunday school teacher as far as the candidates are concerned. But right now, we don't need someone to just slow down the death of America. We need someone who's going to make the tough decisions and call it like it is and show us some tough love and save this country.
So when it comes to cultural conservatives, issues like that, who you can trust, who's going to turn America around, make it great again, is the slogan for Trump, more important to them than whether Trump is consistent on issues like marriage or abortion or even immigration.
Well, yeah, and I think Trump has said it best. Ronald Reagan started off as a liberal Democrat and became one of the best presidents this country ever had as a strong conservative. So, and I got to tell you, I saw a big event last week, Greg, where thousands of people came out, and these were like the old Reagan Democrats, many people who had not voted before in years, who came back out. They want to return this country to what it once was. He's connected with these people, and whether you agree with him or not, if you're for someone else, you've got to look at how he did it. And he's bringing new people into the Republican Party. He's bringing in the old independents and the Reagan Democrats. I think we can learn a whole lot, whether you're a grassroots conservative activist or you're an establishment Republican. Mitt Romney sure could have used this kind of advice in 2012, because we had so many people who didn't turn out to vote who were conservatives.
Well, as you mentioned, there's obviously constituents out there who weren't interested in the process or have sat out for a number of cycles who got involved. He was able to touch on issues that, regardless of what your normal top issue is, it seemed to trump that issue, no pun intended. And then you also talked about his get-out-the-vote effort, in particular absentee voters, folks he could identify and encourage them to vote that way. Why was that such a big edge?
Well, I think that really shows the sophistication of his campaign. He gets it. And so they were able to identify Trump supporters very early on and get them to turn in absentee ballots, so they had that built-in advantage to begin with. And let me tell you, Greg, well, that's important. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. We didn't do that in 2012. Obama did that in 2012. So I think he's learned. I think he's looked at how Obama did it, using technology, how he connects with the iPhones, the technology, how he got built up a huge lead with absentees. That's how you're going to beat Hillary Clinton. I mean, and that's my whole point. That's how we're going to learn how to beat the Democrats is from a tactical standpoint. He also, I think, took a page out of Bush 41's playbook and made South Carolina's firewall, got in there early and organized. And let's face it, it paid off.
It certainly did. Let's talk about the others in that top tier. As we mentioned, this was supposed to be great ground for Ted Cruz. Ultimately, he not only didn't win, he lost to Donald Trump by over 10 points and ultimately finished third. How wounded is he by this?
I think he's wounded. I don't have any question. There's no way. You know, look, all these campaigns have got great consultants who know how to spin things, but it's tough to spin a third place finish when the day before you were saying, quote, this is going to look a lot like Iowa. And it did not look a lot like Iowa. South Carolina is different. It's much more representative of the Republican and conservative electorate nationwide, because you've got social conservatives, economic and national security conservatives. And that's the reason why South Carolina has gotten it right more than any other state, with the exception of one time, the winner of the South Carolina Republican presidential primary has gone on to be the nominee.
And for Rubio, he was in third in most of the polls, obviously finished in second. He's getting a lot of endorsements now coming out of South Carolina, but ultimately doesn't seem to be leading in any states, and of course he hasn't won any states. So how big of a boost, if any, does he get by finishing second?
He gets a boost, but at some point he's got to start winning. And I think they thought they had an outside chance to win in South Carolina. So much of his operation is based there in South Carolina, with his national pollster, his campaign manager, his chief strategist. So many of his top people have strong South Carolina ties. But I got to tell you what really helped him. I know there's been a lot of conversation about having the governor. She definitely helped. But let's face it, the most popular conservative in any red state in America is Senator Tim Scott. He made a big difference. I think he gave him a lot of momentum going into to Saturday.
Couple quick questions before we let you go here, Van. There's obviously a lot of chatter among the punditry class about whether the rest of the field, other than Donald Trump, can essentially winnow itself down so it's Trump against one other alternative. Do you expect that that strategy can work, and do you think that the field could clear fast enough for it to work?
Well, let me tell you, it's getting late. We got Nevada tomorrow. You've got a bunch of states next Tuesday, and then the following Tuesday, more states. It'll soon be the middle part of March. It's going to be very tough to do that. You've got John Kasich. By the way, John Kasich is coming in second in Michigan. Why should he get out when he's coming in number two in Michigan? He's going to win Ohio. That's tough to say. I think in Florida it's going to be tough. I mean, let me tell you, Florida is going to be a defining moment. You've got that's Rubio's home state. Trump has done very well there in the polls. That's going to be, I think, key. I think the winner of Florida is going to tell us an awful lot.
And finally, if Trump can keep this going and racks up enough delegates to be the nominee, do you think this is a guy who can unite the party, given what he's done so far?
Well, if you look at the fact he's getting out Reagan Democrats and independents that we need to win, and he's getting social conservatives, economic conservatives, and national security conservatives, that sounds an awful lot to me like Ronald Reagan's winning coalition. But I do think it's going to be important for him to have someone on the ticket. If he were the nominee, he's going to need someone like a Rubio or Kasich, I think, as his vice president.
We'll be watching. It certainly is unpredictable this year, and we'll see what happens from here. Van, always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Rick, thanks for having me.
Van Hipp is the chairman of American Defense International. His book is The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. And he is the former chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.